Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
We'll be right back.
And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys. This is episode 1,311 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and we're going to have Ant from 49ers Cutback join us soon. Sorry for the late start. Just some audio issues he's going to shore up, and he'll be back with us. We've got a great show planned, and I'm really, really excited about today because you guys have heard from me and kind of the ramblings with the coordinators and certain offensive linemen. And you guys know better than anybody. Ant from 49ers Cutback, the O-line guru, him and Brad, I think, are just the best of the best at that. And so I want to talk with that. We're going to go through. We have a couple polls that I want to talk about and kind of see where you stand. But there are a few updates just with the defensive coordinator and special teams coordinator out there. But the weird thing is, it doesn't really apply to the 49ers. It's much more of the outside influence that's coming in. Bobo, appreciate you. His hashtag CC, Countdown Crew, always representing. Robert Saleh is looking more and more likely to not come back to San Francisco. The departure of Mike McCarthy at the Cowboys opened up another vacancy. And yeah, Robert Saleh seems to be kind of the second most popular head coaching candidate next to Ben Johnson. I think that says a lot about the Jets. You know, you fire a head coach that, and I think that this is also a little bit of context for the fire Shanahan crowd, which I don't really give a lot of credence to usually, but man, like Robert Saleh never won anything with the Jets, but you could see how so many teams want a piece of what he has to offer, so much so that even Jeff Ulbrich is getting a defensive coordinator, other interviews, that are out there. And so like people want to be a part of that. Clint Kubiak, he's getting offensive coordinator interviews, second in-person interview with the Seattle Seahawks this week. Slowick getting head coaching interviews. Like the Shanahan scheme, whether you like it or you don't, or the Shanahan coaching tree, whether you like it or you don't, it is regarded as highly desirable across NFL circles. And that's AFC, NFC, cross division, doesn't matter, offense, defense. People want a piece. They want a piece of it. And so, like, man, again, what did Robert Saleh do as a head coach? Oh, and very, very good. How much of that was the team and the Jets is just a clown show anyway. It's a circus over there. But just the idea that these guys that have failed, they're still getting, maybe Robert Saleh won't get a head coaching job. I'm not rooting against him. I would love for Robert Saleh to come back. And I think that's kind of where the 49ers are now. You're not hearing any news about the 49ers pursuing really anybody outside of, they've interviewed Robert Saleh. They interviewed Deshae Townsend. That's it for the defensive coordinator job. Now, Kyle and John said, yeah, we're going to consider Brandon Staley for that position. And Jeff Ulbrich, who they requested to interview last year and were denied, like, they haven't even interviewed him. He's just out. He's interviewing for other jobs. So, like, the 49ers are kind of operating in this very, very weird way with they seem to know who they want, and they're kind of banking on Robert Saleh. I don't understand why Lou Anarumo. I don't understand why Dennis Allen. I don't understand why a lot of these guys that run this four-man front. Yeah, definitely different coverage package, and it's a different scheme, but it's a similar scheme. You wouldn't have to adapt the personnel or any of those things. Niners are just not even kicking the tires on these things. And that's not been, how do you say that? That's not been the way John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have operated from a player personnel perspective. But this is just, man, like, I think that they made 100% the right move. And moving on from Brian Schneider and Nick Sorensen, those were terrible. But it's just like, man, your advantage that you have available to you right now is that you're not in the playoffs, which sucks. But that there are coordinators available out there that are interviewing for all these jobs, and you're not even trying. You're not even trying to go that way. And it's just, I don't know. I'm left kind of scratching my head because it's just like, I don't know. And so here, this was a quote from Kyle Shanahan just a week ago about the DC coordinators that are out there.
I don't believe anything went wrong in the process. I think I'll tell you what, it's a, I think, more opportunistic or easier process talking about it right now and whatever the date is today. It's a little bit harder in February, which the last two were in. Being the last team to finish last year and before that, being the second to last team to finish makes it a lot different. So there's more opportunities out there and planning on looking into all of them.
And so, planning and looking into all of them, you looked into two, Deshaun Townsend and Robert Saleh. You haven't looked into all of them. Meanwhile, other guys are interviewed. Now, I understand the idea of, okay, Robert Saleh is our first choice. I ain't got a problem with that. You got to have a backup choice. Your backup choice cannot be Deshaun Townsend and Brandon Staley. You cannot do that. You can't do that. You can't. Now, will another team hire somebody, before this? And they're still head coaching interviews or whatever else, but it's just, I don't know. I'm a little bit befuddled. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, and again, we're early in this process and, maybe it will shake out and all those things, but let's see. I think we got the man. Ant, you ready to come up? We all good? All right, here we go. The legend, worth the price of admission. Ant from 49ers Cutback. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. My stuff just basically was Nick Sorensen in the fourth quarter. Everything just went kaput. I had nothing working. It went no mic, and then all of a sudden, no internet. It was just a whole thing. But I'm here because you know what? I can make adjustments on the fly. And so I'm here a little late, but I'm ready to roll now.
I love it, man. So we're talking about the DC situation, and my criticism, and I think a lot of people, it seems like it's like Robert Saleh or bust, and they're just not really bringing in other people. What's kind of your assessment, Ant, on where the 49ers are with their interviews with the DC? Because it's just Deshaun Townsend and it's just Robert Saleh. We understand that there's interest in perhaps Jeff Ulbrich, even though he hasn't been brought in, and there's interest in Brandon Staley, even though they haven't had the official interview. But does it seem to be just like Robert Saleh and then, we'll deal with it if we don't get our guy?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is I never really thought Robert Saleh was going to be the guy. And then all of a sudden he interviewed and I'm like, wow, he actually is a candidate. And I think that Kyle Shanahan's got to make sure he spreads it around a little bit because Robert Saleh's got real interest when it comes to head coaching jobs. And whether he gets one this year or next year, he's going to get one in one of those cycles. And so you're going to have to adjust defensive coordinator again. I do think it's the best fit for the mere fact that you've already done it before. You built a program with Robert Saleh and the team responds to Robert Saleh for the most part, or at least your captains, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. There's a trust factor there. And I think Kyle Shanahan really wants a trust factor because Kyle's made statements like, we never really went all in on one season. We've continued to just play consistent. Well, maybe they're thinking about, we need to go all in. We've got an easy schedule. Bring Robert Saleh in for 1 year and see what we can do. See if we can go all in and potentially win a Super Bowl. But I think that he should continue to have interviews with other candidates because who knows, somebody might get you to think something different. It might come with a different angle and you might actually want to go with them. And I think there's some really good candidates that aren't named Robert Saleh that could be very good defensive coordinators for the 49ers.
Yeah, I like that. And, Rusty right here says, Lynch is the guy that should be driving this boat, isn't he? He is not. This is Kyle's entire venture. Kyle is the de facto CEO, offensive play caller, GM, head coach, you name it. And even whenever they asked the media, when John Lynch was sitting next to him, Kyle took almost all the DC questions. Like, this is Kyle. And so for the people that are like, oh, Kyle needs to be checked at his authority, that's not going to happen. As long as Kyle is here, it will be Kyle's show. He's the one that hired John Lynch. So Ant, let me ask you this. Two of the most popular names out there, maybe not because there's no 49ers ties, Dennis Allen and Lou Anarumo. They both run even fronts, which would be kind of similar to what we do. Are we missing an opportunity in having those names brought in, or is there just, if they're not Shanahan guys and there's no Shanahan ties, need not apply?
I think you are. I think you're missing an opportunity to get a fresh perspective on how somebody else sees your team, personnel-wise, sees what they would do with your team, with the type of scheme that they would run. And I think that's always good information to have. I think you want to bring in guys that would have a unique thought process, because you need to change things up a little bit because people are starting to figure you out. And it could be somebody that just understands your scheme and makes a couple of tweaks here or there and you're ready to roll. But why not take this opportunity to see what else is out there, to kind of spread your net and go ahead and see if there's a bigger fish that you could grab? Maybe you really like Dennis Allen when you have your meetings and everything he says really just hits home. And then next thing you know, you've got your Steve Spagnuolo, because Dennis Allen has been going to coaching, head coaching jobs twice and it didn't work out. The likelihood of him getting a third, not high. You're talking about a guy that could be a 5 or 10 year defensive coordinator for you. And then you, Brock Purdy and Dennis Allen are together for a long time. And I think that would be stability. And then with Lou Anarumo, as soon as I heard he was going to be available after the season, he was somebody that definitely sparked my interest because I like the things that they do in the AFC North. And he went against some of those really tough pound you football teams. And they were able to hold up for the most part, even though he never really got great parts. And he's going to get great parts with the 49ers. So I think both of those names should be really looked at and evaluated by Kyle. And whether he chooses them or not, I think it would be good information for him. But I would love to for him to really consider those type of candidates.
Yeah, I really want to just, man, bring it. Like, again, the advantage, and this is mentioned by Shanahan, you have the chance to interview whoever the hell you want right now. You don't have to wait until every seat has been filled. And, you know, maybe this will change, but Robert Saleh to Shea Townsend, the only defensive coordinators that have been interviewed in over a week. I don't know. Maybe there are internal meetings and trying to figure out what fits and what doesn't fit. And maybe they've reached out to people like Dennis Allen and they've said, hey, don't take a job yet. But we don't know those things. NFL teams do have to disclose who they interview for these coordinator positions. That's why you're seeing, if you're on Twitter or social media, Adam Schefter and Rappaport and all the guys say, oh, concluded their second interview with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. But, man, I want more. I really do want more. And I will say this is another thing that keeps coming across in social media from 49ers fans. Shout out to 49 Problems. He says, as much as I like Robert Saleh, I want a long-term DC. Saleh would be a rental. One and done. Then we'd be back in the market next year.
It's playoff time, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while you watch the playoffs. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. So sign up today with our code 49ers, 49ERS. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So if you think Brock Purdy is going to throw for more than 1.5 touchdowns or Lamar Jackson 250 pass yards the following week, man, that's where it's at. And my favorite thing is it's just simple. You pick two players, more or less, and then you're golden. So download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first game on Prize Picks. Run your game. It's a brand new year, and everybody has New Year's resolutions. Did you know only 8% of people stuck with their last year's New Year's resolution throughout the year? Well, who doesn't want to be better off financially? Well, here's the thing with Acorns. You go to there, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, your retirement, whatever your financial needs are. And here's the thing, you don't have to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits your goals. And you don't need to be rich. You can start with $5, even just your spare change, and they can round up your transactions. That's what I do personally. I've been using this same feature for at least 4 or 5 years now on Acorns. So whether you don't have time, you don't have a lot of money, it doesn't matter. This is where Acorns comes into effect for you because they help you get there. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. And I am proud to say that this episode is brought to you by Acorns. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you think the Niners are really concerned with this? Because I think as long as Shanahan is the offensive coach, if you have a good DC, they're going to get hired away. If you have a bad DC, you're going to move on. I don't think that it's going to be one of these career-long defensive coordinators. Maybe Dennis Allen, after two head coaching stints, you know, failures, like you talked about, could be that Spags type. But even Spags, after failing for the Rams, it looks like he's going to get a chance to be a head coach. So if you have a good enough defense, you will always get poached. And, man, if you told me right now I'd get Robert Saleh for 2 years and then he gets poached as a head coaching candidate, I'd take it in a heartbeat. One, because you'd get more comp picks again. That'd be 4 comp picks we got for Robert Saleh. Think of all the kickers and punters we could draft. So I don't know. What is your thoughts about the longevity? Should that factor into, you know, Robert Saleh is a hot candidate. He might be a head coaching candidate this year. And if we hire him as DC, might just be a 1-year rental. Is that a negative for you, Ant?
Well, I think you take it into consideration because you've had so many changes. I mean, the DeMeco Ryans when he got hired away, but since then it's been failed candidate with Steve Wilks, failed candidate with Nick Sorensen. They just, you know, for one reason or the other, either it wasn't a fit or it didn't work out on the field. But Robert Saleh, you know what you're going to get. And I think that's part of the allure of Robert Saleh is I know I can trust this guy. I've seen this guy make the adjustments. I've seen him get us a number one defense. And even though they think long term, they are thinking about this year. They need to win a Super Bowl now. What are you going to do with this core group in 2 or 3 years? You don't know. So if I could get Robert Saleh and I knew I was going to get a Super Bowl in 2025 and I had to worry about this next year, I might be willing to do so. But one of the things that Kyle brought up in his presser was the fact that it's hard to find defensive coordinator candidates when you go deep in the playoffs. So imagine winning the Super Bowl, Robert Saleh leaves, and you're back in the same boat again where the candidates are few and far between. And then what do you do for 2026? So I think longevity does have to play into it, but you have to kind of weight that balance. Do we want to go all in for 2025 or we want to play the long game? I think there's probably a candidate or two that you could play the long game and they would still help you win in 2025. But Robert Saleh is not that guy. So that's going to be a tough decision for Kyle to make in the long run.
Yeah, and I think if Robert Saleh could say right now, hey, I'll take it, the Niners would offer it. Yeah, like, I think that's just – if I would not have said that prior to last week, but the fact that we've been a full week and you've only interviewed two guys, really only one authentic candidate. I'm not trying to downplay Deshae Townsend, but, like, never been a defensive coordinator in his life. And so, like, why is he – I don't know. I don't know. That's just my own conjecture.
Intel.
Yeah. And Intel, I think maybe he's going to be a promising coach. But the 49ers, and this is another thing that I think Niners fans don't – maybe they do understand. This is a premium program. This is a blue blood, blue chip, high pedigree program that we're not the Jaguars. We're not the Seattle Seahawks. We're not the Chicago Bears. This is a team that coaches want to come to. And, you know, somebody asked the question about, like, the revolving door. Here we go. Monkey Boy, appreciate you. Does having a revolving door at defensive coordinator cause issues with the players, like young players development? Well, again, the 49ers are a little bit different because they have Bullocks in the secondary, Holland at linebacker, Kucerik. They've been here from the jump. And so you are carrying over this continuity, which makes it hard for DCs, a la Steve Wilks, because you're coming into a house where the table's already set. You don't get to rearrange the furniture. You don't get to do those things. Shanahan is Shanahan, and he's not going to change things for you. Now, he said he was open to the scheme. And again, I want to play this clip because it kind of goes against what they're talking about. But here was Kyle when he was asked about, would you be willing to change the defensive scheme to fit a new defensive coordinator?
Love the scheme that we've had here. I think it's – one of the hardest things to go to when you got the right guys in the right spots. But I do think people adjust to schemes, and I think you have to adjust too, depending on your personnel. And I think that was a tougher thing for us this year. Just going into the season, it was a little bit harder than past seasons. And some of the injuries we had, I think, made it really tough for Nick. And I thought he got better trying to adjust and do different things. But I do think that's something that definitely, I'm not saying you got to change schemes, but you have to have the ability, the history and the knowledge of how to change some stuff up when you're in some certain situations. And I think that we do need that more going forward.
Do you think that he's just saying this, or do you think Kyle legitimately would be open to changing the scheme? And is there anything in the interviews or lack thereof that would suggest that was at all truthful from Kyle?
I think it's subtle changes that he's talking about, because that was kind of the agreement with Steve Wilks. Come in, learn the system, and then if you need to adjust the system a little bit, you can. You can kind of put in your own wrinkles. And I think that that's kind of the mindset that he has. Now, I think if somebody came in and said, you know what, we could do this with the personnel, we could do that, and it blew his socks off, that it was something that challenged him mentally, and it challenged the way he approaches offense even, that he would say, you know what, that's a better option. Let's do that. But I don't think he's really been wowed by any defensive coordinator. And I think that would be the only case in which he'd be able to change the program. Yeah. Because like you said, there's continuity. Those players don't have to adjust because it's the same position coaches teaching the same things. And so they hear the same keywords and the same buzz techniques, and everything is the same. And so for them, it's not a big adjustment except for who's calling the plays and the style in which they do it. And so it makes it a little bit easier for the players. But I don't know. Is somebody going to come in and wow him? Right now, I don't think out of the two candidates that they're going to get wowed, because Robert Saleh, you kind of know what you're going to get. You brought up Townsend, and I think that one was more, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and give this guy a shot, see what he says. He could be the heir apparent in Detroit, the new defensive coordinator. I want to see what I could be going against. What are his philosophies, or what are our weaknesses if he tells me about our team?
Yeah, I like it. Now, all right, let's transition, Ant, because anytime I get the chance to talk to you, it's time for John Chapman to learn. We're going to learn today. Offensive tackle is definitely a need. with the 49ers. And so let's just introduce some of the first round possibilities at offensive tackle that are out there. And I'm kind of just curious what your thoughts are on the top of this class. You know, I put this poll out there and I had to adjust it after Dane Brugler's mock draft. He had the 49ers taking Armand Membu at tackle, but there's Josh Simmons, Ohio State. That dude's plug and play, coming off an ACL though. Will Campbell is definitely the most like talked about, and Kelvin Bates Jr. of Texas. These offensive tackles, what are your initial thoughts on these guys and kind of what you take away? You were the guy that nailed the Dominique Pooney fit. You were the guy that was 100% on board with that. You predicted it on our stream draft day. What are your thoughts on this offensive tackle class up top?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I started getting into these guys just recently, but there were some things that jumped off. And you talked about Josh Simmons. One of the things that really jumped out about him was you talk about a smooth operator when it comes to pass protection. I mean, he's clean. I like the way he moves. There's a fluidity to it. You can see the flexibility. So I liked him there. I thought where we had a little bit of issues is when it came to run blocking. I don't think he's as tenacious as some of the other guys that I watched from the top of this draft class. I think Kelvin Banks, that is the most tenacious defense or offensive tackle that I've seen at the top. The guy, when he's downfield, it gives you those Trent Williams vibes as he's running downfield to lay people out. I love that physicality. I don't think he's as clean when it comes to his pass sets, but those are things that you can continue to get better at and continue to work on. Thought he had good, heavy hands, so I liked him. He's still very athletic. I mean, when you see him in the open space, I was like, this guy can move. So I like both of those candidates. And then Will Campbell, the same thing. I think he's up there. I think he's a good candidate. Right now, I like the other guys a little bit better. That doesn't mean here in a week or so, I won't change my mind as I get into another film. But early on, I like all those guys, but for different reasons. I think Kelvin Banks right now is the more dual threat guy. He can do it in the run game. He could do it when it comes to pass protection. But I think Josh Simmons right now would be the cleanest prospect when it comes to pass protection. So what are you looking for? Well, we know the 49ers love a good run blocker. Dominique Pooney wasn't the best run blocker coming in, but you've seen the attributes that make you think he could be. So I think that's what they got to evaluate. But the ACL tear for Josh Simmons is going to be something that's going to be on everyone's mind, because that medical could push you one way or the other. And I think the 49ers are fearful of players that get hurt. That might ultimately hurt him and force them to go a different direction.
Yeah, Josh Simmons is interesting because, you know, 6'5", 311, he's 22 years old, fits all those things. But because of the injury, man, he's only got 1,900 snaps to his name. That's below average of this draft class at the offensive tackles. So I want to go back to these names, but my question for you, Ant, how much will experience be a factor for the 49ers? Because we saw last year, really post-Trey Lance, where they have basically said, we're not taking educated guesses on players who don't have the experience, the snap count, all of those things. How important do you think number of starts, quality of starts, snap count is for this offensive line class? Because the Niners have basically just thrown their hands up and said, if you haven't played a lot, we're not interested. Do you think that that carries over into this draft class?
I think it's definitely their mindset. I think they would prefer to go with somebody that's a proven commodity. You play a lot of snaps, we have a lot of film on you, so we can see consistency. We can see how you've gotten better. That was one of the things that really got me with Dominique Pooney, was there was a consistency to his game. Every single play, play in and play out, he looked the same. He was playing tough. He was playing physical. And when you see that on film, it naturally gets your attention. And I think they will look at the longevity. They will look at the injury history. And I think if it's close or even, I think they will side with the player that's played more snaps, the player that stayed more healthy, because those have been things that have worked well for them in recent drafts. And I think it's a pretty good draft philosophy. Let's go with experience over potential upside, because let's go with the player that he might not have as high a ceiling, but we know what we're going to get. We know that this is going to be good enough. And we've heard Chris Foerster talk about that level. Well, if you can get that guy that takes you over the top because his level's a little bit higher, I think you'll be okay. So I do think that they look at that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Now, there's always the opportunity where there's a prospect that hasn't played a lot, and this is just a blue chip, or this is the next Trent Williams or something like that. Then you don't hesitate. You go make a move. But finding those guys is really tough.
Yeah, it's hard. So I charted – all I've been doing the past weekend is I'm on Pro Football Premium and I'm counting snap counts and I'm counting where players are. So today, this morning, all I've done is wide receivers, which has so many wide receivers that are draft eligible. I'm counting like inline snaps. I'm counting slot snaps, out wide snaps, punt return snaps, kick return snaps, special teams, just for all these players. I'm just charting. So I went back to my offensive tackle charts, which is stupid, but this is my life. And I know you do too, because when we do the draft show and all that kind of stuff, these players come to life. And my goal is to do all this stupid grunt work in the 49ers rush draft team so that other people don't have to do it. So I totaled just the top half of offensive tackles. And some of these guys might not be tackles, but whatever. We'll save that for another day. Here are the most experienced snap wise offensive tackles. Doesn't mean they're good snaps. Doesn't mean they're first round picks. This is all over the spectrum, but I graded 22 tackles, and here are the most snaps. Here we go. Number one, I'm going to go through these quick. Carson Vinson, 3,400 snaps. Ajene Cornelius, 3,200. Jack Wilson, 3,100. Holland Pierce, 3,100. Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, 3,000. Wyatt Mullum, that's the name I want to go back to here in a second, of West Virginia, 29. Chase Lunt, 2,900. Blake Miller, 28. Xavier Truss, 26. Kelvin Banks and Will Campbell, 25. That's the top half. The bottom half, Josh Simmons' name ain't in there. I kind of took out of this list, but these are the top guys as far as experience. And some of these guys are day three, late day three picks, whatever else. But, man, if I'm hedging my bets and like, man, maybe you don't go tackle early. These are some of the names that stand out. And not so much the tape, even though a little bit of the tape with Wyatt Mullum out of West Virginia. I'm sorry. It's just there's a lot of Dominic Pooney comparisons with the versatility, the amount of play, the body type, the academics. I mean, it's just like, I don't think they're the same player. I don't think that they are. But I'm just saying there's a lot of like, oh, this is kind of similar. What are your thoughts on Wyatt Mullum out of West Virginia? Have you watched him? Have you dove into him at all?
Yeah, I just actually started getting into him last night. In fact, David Morazzo, he came on the live stream yesterday and he said, hey, well, you know, have
David
you checked him out?
Stuff.
Yeah, and I hadn't really checked him out, so I double-checked with him. Hey, you know, who was that you were talking about? And he went ahead and reminded me. And so I went in and started looking. And, you know, there's a lot to like. You're right. There's a lot of consistency there. There's a lot of just get-it-done type mentality. It's kind of that hard hat mentality when you get to some of those players. And those are the things we liked about Dominic Pooney last year. And I thought that early on, and I haven't done an extensive breakdown of him, of course, but yeah, I thought he looked pretty good. I think he's a pretty clean prospect. I think that there's, you know, when it comes to smoothness and technique, there's a lot of guys that are a little bit better than him. When it comes to getting things done, he does it at a high level. And so, yeah, he's somebody I could see the 49ers being interested in. Where he falls at on the board, I think, is going to be interesting, because I think a lot of these guys are going to move up the board because of projection of what they could be, where he's kind of already somebody you kind of get an idea of what he will be. And I think that's always interesting. And you never know what Chris Forster is going to like about some of these guys, but I could see that. Yeah, I could see him being a plug and play right tackle, which means what do you do day one with a guy like Colton McKivitz, or is he backing up Colton McKivitz in McKivitz's last year of his contract? You moving him to guard, it gets a little bit interesting, but yeah, it could be a prospect the 49ers strike on for sure.
Yeah, I like it. David Morazzo is in the chat right here, and he reached out to me. He says Millum looked really good against Abdul Carter, and so. Man, if he can hold his own against that guy, I think that's key. I really, really do. And, you know, again, it depends on how you shake out the top of this draft class. What do the Niners do in the first round? Well, there's tackles that will fit in the second round. I think Wyatt Mullum's one of those guys. I think edge and tackle you can get in the first and second round. Maybe even defensive tackle. Contributors. And I think that's going to be interesting. Now, I had a question from my man Brian W., and I think it goes with this conversation. He says, with Kyle's kind of red shirt philosophy, is drafting at 11, are you looking for a red shirt top of the ceiling type player or a rookie starter like Dominic Pooney? But even Pooney got his start because of an injury. So what are your thoughts there? Like, are you in the idea of, look, at we're picking 11, we usually don't draft this high. Do we need somebody that can come in and start right away? And if so, that's going to affect what position you're kind of going after. So what is your philosophy as you look at this draft class in the first round with the top 11 pick? Are you cool drafting somebody that's going to sit behind somebody for a while, or do you want that immediate plug-and-play type guy?
I would like to think that anyone drafted as high as 11 is better than the players ahead of them already. I would think that if you're getting a tackle, you can find a place, you know, if you get one of those elite tackles at the top of the draft, you can find a place for them to start, maybe place them at left guard. That's an easy adjustment just to slide in one spot. You still can play the same position and then eventually slide out to left tackle once Trent Williams is done. But you can make your team a lot better because really good tackles can play offensive guard. And I know it might not be the prettiest thing, but that would establish your line right away and they can make an early impact while they're developing. And then maybe the next year it's different. But it could also be that one of those tackles plays right tackle and Colt McKivitz moves into guard. So you can make some adjustments, but I would expect whoever you get, whether that's a defensive lineman, that's a edge rusher, or that's an offensive tackle, that they're helping your team in year one. You're expecting instant impact from somebody in the top 15 picks. And I think they should be good enough to start day one at whatever position you draft. Or I don't understand why you're drafting them in the top 15 picks.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And so, like, man, that's the thing. If that's the case, all right, I look at offensive tackles. I truly do think it's probably going to be Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz start week one. And, yeah, I like the guard. You know, maybe you move that around. I think that's going to be the case. And I think probably the most plug-and-play, this is crazy, tackle is Josh Simmons, who's coming off the ACL. I think he's got so much to gain or lose at this combine with the medical checks. But ACL isn't the feared whatever that it used to be. But I think he's the most plug and play out of those first round eligible. I think he's just his play is at that level already. Is his ceiling as high? No. The injury, he hasn't played a lot. There's question marks that I think might remove him from the 49ers. Kind of, you know, whatever. Again, we talked about the difference between Trey Lance and how they never went after unexperienced players early on in the draft after that. Well, we're also the post Javon Kinlaw, where the 49ers have stayed away, especially the first three rounds, really first four rounds, injury players. Isaac Garrido was kind of the first one, and they traded up to get him in the fourth round, so maybe it's just first three rounds. Richard says, no more drafting players with injury history. Football's got 100% injury rate, and you want guys that have played a lot of football. And just because you draft guys that haven't been injured doesn't mean they won't be. Look at Ricky Pearsall. Dude never missed a game in his life. Missed all of training camp with shoulder and hamstring issues. The gunshot came later, obviously, but it's not the great. It might be the best predictor of future injury history, but it's not always the case. And so I don't know. Do you think Josh Simmons will even be on the board for the 49ers at 11?
I think he has to be because an ACL is not exactly a chronic health condition. I think if it was something chronic, when you look at, you know, the things that happen with some of the guys, it's like even with Ricky Pearsall, that's something that can consistently happen and they knew about it. But I think that when you look at just an ACL, if it's just an ACL, you're okay with it. They were willing to draft Nick Bosa after he came off an ACL. He's done a pretty good job. He had a core muscle injury. And for the most part, you know, he's been able to stay healthy. Injuries are going to happen. And I know that they're going to scare everyone off. But when you've got a blue chip caliber player and all they have is an ACL, and it has to be right. They're going to have way more medical, way more insight than any of us could possibly see. If they feel comfortable with it, I'm okay with it. Now, if they say, hey, this could be something that's going to cause knee tendonitis, that could be something that's going to hinder him, then yes, you go a different direction. But if it's something short term, yeah, I think for the most part, you're right. Most of these guys have had some sort of injury in high school or college that will at least put a little bit of a red flag on them that you have to check out with medical. So even though I think it is a good policy to not draft people that have a injury history, I think occasionally an injury here or there is not such a big deal.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to see it. Probably my least favorite thing is I wish we got access to the medical checks. Obviously, I understand why we don't. And I wish that we got access to the interviews. Those are the things. So, like, you know, you and I, we work our tail ends off on this. And we try to learn as much as we can about the players. But we don't get to interview them personally. We don't get to know their medical checks. And those are the biggest reasons why players fall or jump up on these big boards. It's a lot of questions answered in those rooms that we just don't get, sadly. Now, we're going to transition from talking offensive tackle, which there's still a couple questions that I want to get to in the chat. We'll get to those at the end of the show. But I want to talk about if number 11 is the biggest player and he's a plug and play, I think defensive tackle is probably the biggest need for the 49ers. So I want to get your take on how aggressive you would be for Mason Graham if he falls to like a pick 8 or something. And we're going to get to that right after this. It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs, and all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie. MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back. Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS49ERS on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie. All right. Ant, couple quick questions. You can dive into this as much or as little as you want. Do you see defensive tackle as the worst rostered position that the 49ers have currently on the team?
I think that comes down to, are you going to lose Dre Greenlaw? Because I think if you lose Dre Greenlaw, linebacker becomes a real issue. And I know you're not tackling that at 11, but I see a real hole in the 49ers defense if Dre Greenlaw is not coming back. I like D. Winters, but I don't think he's ready to roll. I do think defensive tackle is a weakness for sure. I think you have a little bit more capable guys, even some guys that you're maybe high on that are young, that are still developing. And I think defensive tackle is probably an easier position to attack during free agency with some of the names that are out there with DJ Jones, Puna Ford, and guys like that. So I think that could be addressed there. But I worry about linebacker. I worry a little bit about, you know, some of the other positions. So, but I think they do address defensive tackle in a big way in the draft because I think you need to get better, whether it's the starter or the rotational piece after free agency. Both got to happen.
Yeah, I like that. So, you know, free agency, we'll deal with that before the draft whenever it happens. But let's just say you're moving into the draft currently with the roster that you have currently. I don't think drafting an off-the-ball linebacker at 11 really makes much sense. I don't think drafting a tight end makes much sense. I don't think drafting a running back really makes much sense. I think Shanahan might disagree with me there. But let's talk about defensive tackle, and it does seem to be very obvious and clear. Yeah, there's going to be some different opinions. Mason Graham seems to be the guy. He seems to be the blue chip at that position. So my question is, I don't think that there's any chance that Mason Graham makes it to 11. If he did fall to like a pick 8, and we did, you know, went through the Jimmy Johnson, you know, trade chart and all that crazy stuff, essentially to move up value-wise, it would cost the number 11 pick and the number 75 pick. So you're giving up your first and third, and you get back their fourth. So you're dropping from third to fourth round, but you're jumping up three spots. Does that even make sense to you? Or are you just like, man, no need to jump up. We need that third round pick. What are your thoughts on just the value of getting a blue chip player at the defensive tackles position like a Mason Graham? Where do you stand on that? Is it even worth entertaining a possible trade up if he falls?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you value defensive tackle within this system. There's a position that you need to hold up, and that's one of them. And we've seen what happened when the 49ers have blue chip players at defensive tackle. When you have DeForest Buckner and when you have Eric Armstead and DJ Jones, when those guys are out there playing, and those are all double digit guys out in free agency that get big money, your defense is a lot better. You play better against the run, and you also get more penetration when it comes to pass rush. So if you can get an elite blue chip player, and all you have to do is you're telling me you're going to fall back, you know, several spots from 75 to, you know, 100 and whatever, I'm starting to think about it. And yes, you might lose out on a player you really like at 75, but you have a plug and play player there. And we've already seen what has happened with the Rams with the additions that they've made along their defensive line with Jared Verse and with Braden Fisk. And those guys have made impacts on the football team, getting impact players on defensive line. These guys don't come around very much. And John Lynch played with Warren Sapp. He knows what it means to play with really good defensive tackles on the inside. I'm not saying Mason Graham is. I definitely haven't made that comparison, but I think he's a really good player. And if you're jumping up three spots, I don't think that you wouldn't go ahead and make that move. I think it is the juice is worth the squeeze there if he gets that close.
The juice is worth the squeeze. I freaking love it. Yeah, I'm a big Mason Graham guy. Now, I do think one of the reasons why, you know, we go through and we do these mock drafts and the simulations or whatever, man, you get to that second round and it's just like either defensive ends are falling, defensive tackles are falling, and offensive tackles are falling. And I'm just like, man, if I could just say, if we could just go trenches with our first and second round picks, I'd be the happiest man alive. Even if, you know, I disagree with whatever player they pick or don't pick or whatever else. Gosh, I would freaking love that. And I think that the opportunity is there with the 49ers, with where they are currently. Gosh, man, I think you can get some difference makers. I really, really do. So real quick, before we jump to the Q&A part of today's show, which we've got some good questions up there, which I'm excited about. Are there any other players that kind of have stood out to you that's just like, this guy's kind of got 49ers written all over him and think he would be a really, really good fit, regardless of position?
Yeah, you know what? There's a safety, and I'm going completely blank on his name, so I'm going to look him up real quick because I love this guy when I watch him. I know he's from USC. You probably know who it is already, but I just started looking at safeties just recently.
You're going Kamari Ramsey.
That's who I'm talking about, Kamari Ramsey. So I just really liked his film a lot, and I had just basically came across him, and I was like, you know what? This guy has got some ability, the way he plays so physically, the way he attacks the ball, I think that he could be a solid safety choice. The problem is where he's probably going to get drafted might not work with where the 49ers are going to be picking, because like you brought up, we need to address the trenches in the first couple of rounds, and there's a chance he could go late two, early three. The 49ers might not be there, and who knows what happens once he goes through the combine. But I thought that he was a 49ers kind of player with a little bit more range than maybe some of the other guys they have. So I like Kamari Ramsey a lot, and that was the first guy that's kind of jumped out that's not in a position of the trenches. I wanted to kind of bring up somebody that was different, that wasn't in the trenches right now, because I think safety's also a position the 49ers could address in this draft. And I liked him early on. That was the first one that got my attention. It was kind of giving me some of the feelings of some of the guys last year that I really liked early on in the draft.
Yeah, I think there's two of the top kind of safeties. Kamari Ramsey, 6'2", 204. That is the exact prototype that they want as a defensive back. And then Xavier Watts, I'm seeing brought up in the chat. David, my man right there, 6'2", 203. Again, these are the types of guys that they like at safety. I'm very excited about the combine for the safety position. I'm not huge on 40-yard dash as a predictor of who could play and who can't play most positions. I think the 40-yard dash matters most to corners and safeties. I want speed. The need for speed, right? I need a speed safety, especially if we're going to keep doing that single high cover one, whatever, that Shanahan tends to like now. I want speed. And so, yeah, you can watch tape and you can get a feel for it, but I'm telling you, the 40-yard dash matters most for me at this safety position this year. I am going to be glued to the screen, data inputting like a madman, all these 40-yard dashes. And again, I love Hufanga almost more than any other player. Like, he's my second favorite player on the team next to Dre Greenlaw. I want somebody that runs a 4.440 or better. Like, sometimes you just need speed. And I'm really, really hoping that we get that. Oh, I'm really, really hoping that we get that. And yeah, it's funny. You know, Steven says, you know, Sonny Styles, 6'4", running a 4.4. There's some guys. I don't think that the 49ers are a threshold drafting team like the Colts, right? Where if you're not this height or this speed, you can't play for us. If you don't have this arm length, we remove you from our draft board. I don't think the 49ers are like that. But I do think that the 49ers have certain types that they're just like, yeah, I don't know if this fits. And I'm not sure a 6'4 guy, maybe I'm sorry for the thumping. They're doing some construction at the house. And I try to plan my whole shows around it. And they went a little early today, but that's okay. Okay, so here's my next question. Let's go to, I love this question, and I'm going to give you a second to think about this. James Montgomery, appreciate you, man. He says, who's the offensive tackle boom or bust pick? And then who is the safest pick? This is a little interesting to me, and I think there's a couple different ways that you can look at it. I think that the highest ceiling player, and I don't put him in the boom or bust category, but the highest ceiling player so far for me in the draft, I'm going to put Kelvin Banks there. I'm biased. I'm a Longhorn, but man, they're like you said, and you're not the first person that said this. When you watch his tape, sometimes you think Trent Williams, like, there's flashes. I don't think that he is Trent Williams. I don't think that he's as athletic. I don't think he's as large. I don't think he's as good. I don't think he's as good as a technician. But there's similarities when you watch him and you're just like, ooh, that. Like, that is what offensive tackle play is supposed to look like. There's a lot that he could work on. Arm length's going to be an issue. We'll see how that goes with the combine. But, man, if I'm talking highest ceiling, that's why I have Kelvin Banks one. Like, he could be an all-pro. Like, he could be that. Do you agree with that assessment on Kelvin Banks? Do you think that he has one of the higher ceilings of the draft? Offensive tackle, or is there somebody else that stands out to you?
Oh, no, I do think he has that potential. He's nasty. That's the first thing that jumps off. I like a little nasty when it comes to offensive line. Those guys that are going to put you in the ground and let you know you're going to be there all day long, you know, and there's a type of mentality that comes from playing like that. That's a very run first mentality when you're going to play with that aggressiveness. That's why when I was talking about Josh Simmons earlier, I talked about the fact he's really good at pass protection. But you can see there's the aggressiveness is not quite there when it comes to his run blocking. He's more technique driven. Everything is technique. With Banks, it's everything is physical. My technique might not be completely right, but I'm going to put you in the ground and I'm going to let you know that this is going to happen all day long. And so if you could fix the technique things to go with the attitude, pretty soon that guy could be one of the top, you know, offensive tackles in the league. So, yeah, I really like it. I think he is one of those guys that has a lot of potential, and that's why I'm a big fan of him. And, you know, I've watched a couple of games now where I just thought, hey, this guy's pretty good. Is it going to be perfect right now? No. But if you get your hands on him, and that's what every offensive coach thinks, if I get my hands on this guy, I could turn him into the next great offensive tackle. And I think he has that ability within him. I think he's a solid top 10 guy. I really do. I think he could be a top 10 guy. Not as clean as like a Joe Alt last year. Joe Alt was just as clean as could be. So let's get that clear. That's not what this guy is, but this guy has got a lot of potential.
But yeah, Joe Alt in a, I think, a better overall draft class as far as quarterbacks and all that stuff, still went top. What did he go, like fifth or something? Fifth, I think he went fifth. Yeah. So, like, even if Kelvin Banks was that, you couldn't get him last year at that spot. You're not going to get him this year. Joe Alt would have went top three this draft, almost guaranteed. He'd be the first non-quarterback, maybe him or Abdul Carter. And Kelvin Banks might still be that. So, let's see. Do you have a safe or Actually, hold on. Before we go to safest, I think that this is awesome from David. And again, we're just going to stick with Texas players here. Let's go to the flip side. David says, I think the offensive tackle Cameron Williams from Texas is probably the boom or bust also. Shown some flash. I am out on Cameron Williams. Not that I'm out on him completely, but he was getting first-round grades. Now it's kind of more second-round grades. Dude's only played 1,000 snaps. bad weight on his body, led the team in penalties. I mean, the physicality is there, the mauling is there, but the experience, the consistency, way off the charts. Like, I don't want to say he's a bust, but he's from Duncanville Tech. He's from the school I coached at. He's from my favorite college. But I'm telling you right now, like, man, if you had to ask me a second round pick player, I really wish he would have went back to the draft. It, like, hopefully I'm showing that maybe I'm not always biased to my teams, but I'm just like, dude, I'm not interested in this player, but he could be an absolute stud. But the bad body weight, you look at him and you're just like, all right, there's more you could get out of that. Is he a guard? Is he a tackle? I mean, he's a freak. He's 21 years old. He's built the way you want an offensive tackle to be built. But, man, all the penalties, the lack of snaps, the lack of experience. I don't know. Have you looked into Cameron Williams at all?
Yeah, you know, my first exposure to him was actually in the playoff, you know, and I'm watching him go against Ohio State and get absolutely cooked on certain plays. And I seen a guy that had bad weight distribution, and I seen a guy that lunged a lot and it bend a little bit at the waist instead of bending with the hips. And so it wasn't a good first impression. And I've looked at a little bit more film since then. And I think that there's a lot to like and there's a lot to build upon. But this is a guy that's definitely not a first round talent. I think this guy is right now, from what I've seen, and he could be worse. When it comes offensive line, I can be very harsh, especially when I watch a lot of film. And I think that he could fall all the way into the third round. And I think that that's because of some of the things you talked about, the extra weight. But a lot of it is the bend. You've got to have consistent bend with your hips, and you've got to have good flexibility in your ankles and things to be able to pick up some of these speed pass rushers. And when you don't, you're going to get cooked. The other thing is, this is not a left tackle prospect. This is a right tackle prospect, or even move inside to guard. And so I think that that also hurts his draft stock. But not a bad guy by any stretch, a bad prospect, but definitely needs a lot of work.
Yeah. Okay, what about safest player? Did anybody stand out to you there?
I think that Will Campbell is probably the safest of the prospects that I've watched. I think that he's a plug-and-play guy. I think you could put him in, and I think he'll be a consistent player that's probably one of your, you know, at worst, top 15 offensive tackles, you know, whatever position he's playing. And I think that that's exactly what you know you're going to get. You just see consistency from him. So I've liked his film. Nothing has completely wowed me. I like to be wowed when I come to prospects, and nothing has wowed me, but I've been like, okay, yeah, this guy's pretty solid and he's consistent. And who knows, I might get into another film and he might wow me at some point. But yeah, I think he's probably the guy that I feel could be the most consistent and is probably the most steady of the draft picks that we've talked about.
He has, I don't know if you've seen the video of him talking after the game, his press conference. Like, if I'm his agent, I'm getting that dude in front of the mic as much as possible. Like, you listen to him talk and you're just like, oh, all right, this is a lunch pail, blue collar, like, wants to kill people. Like, yes, mentality, work ethic, he's got it in spades. Started since a true freshman in the SEC. Like, there's so much to like about him that I'm with you. I think he's a better gap power scheme fit than he is a zone fit, but that doesn't mean he doesn't fit the zone. That's not what it is at all. But, like, it's just like, ah, yeah, this guy I could see. And I would say Josh Simmons as the safest, but that ACL,
right?
That's a little bit different. But, man, just tape, whenever I watch Josh Simmons tape, I don't think upside, I don't think dominant. I think, man, that's what an NFL player looks like, play in, play out. Like, that's it. You just plug and play. Josh Simmons is your guy, but the ACL, that's right. There's caveats. And I think one of the fun things to do, and I don't know what the value is of this, but when we're talking about these best offensive tackles, you compare them against other draft classes and it's like, no, but it's not a bad, I think it's deeper than a lot of draft classes, but you put any of these guys up against Joe Alt, and you're just like, nah, bro, Penei Sewell, no, it ain't happening. So we'll see. Well, some of them have that type of career, sure. But yeah, we'll see there. Couple other questions just from Invader that I want to get to. He says, thoughts on I do you know the pronunciation of this one? Because
I do not.
Okay. Iarante Arce out of Minnesota, offensive tackle, 6'6", 331. Frame, athleticism, finisher, 2,400 snaps. So that's solid. He's right on par for the experience in this draft class. Gave up one sack, one quarterback hit. Pass rush grade is solid. There's a lot that I like about him, but I don't think there's enough to think that he's a first round value. I think this would be a player you'd set on the second, third round. This is a deep tackle class in that kind of 40 to 60 draft pick range. What's your flavor? You know what I mean? So that's my thought on Ears. I can't pronounce his first or second name correctly. So anyway, I got to work on this. I'm still working on
snapping. We'll get there, John. We'll get there.
We'll get there. What about Josh Connerly, Oregon? Did you have any thoughts on him? Because he's a little bit different. A lot of people like him, the Oregon players, the offensive line. They've churned out some great ones. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, I did watch a little bit, and I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I didn't know what I was going to get out of it. I did watch a few Oregon games this season, and, you know, I thought their offensive line held up for the most part, and I thought that he did a pretty good job. So I just kind of breaking into, like, watching his game film a lot, but, yeah, I think he's a pretty good prospect. Probably later on in the draft you could potentially pick him up. So I kind of liked him. Yeah, I thought he was somebody the 49ers could be interested in. But there's still a question mark, you know, with some of those guys about, you know, how well they're going to run block compared to how well they're going to pass block. They come from those type of systems. They're usually very good pass blockers, but how are they going to develop when it comes to run blocking? And that's one of my concerns that I want to see if I watch a little bit more film.
That's exactly what I said. My three things: pass protection, length, attitude. Can he develop in the run game? That's one of the issues. Like, he is a pass pro. And what do you want from your tackles? Well, we know what the 49ers want. They want guys that can go out there and be a part of their run scheme, block in space, and move. You've got to answer that first. I know a lot of us are just like, oh, we need pass protection, especially we're going to throw the ball 40 times a game. But, yeah, it's interesting to say the least. So, again, this conversation, I love it, Ant, and I really do appreciate what you bring to the table, because we're just starting to figure out where these guys fit. We're not giving out full draft evaluations, but hopefully these names are starting to find places where you're like, okay, this is a guy that I think fits. This is a guy that maybe could. And you start to slot these players accordingly with where they could fit draft-wise with the 49ers. Are they fits? Are they not? So this has been fun. So before we end the show, anything that we have not covered or thoughts that maybe I cut you off, I'm bad about that, that you want to throw out there before we wrap this show up?
Yeah, just one guy that I've only basically just got started watching, but someone interesting that kind of piqued my interest is Jack Nelson of Wisconsin. Offensive tackle, played, you know, big-time football there with Wisconsin, and he's a big individual, and he has an interesting pass set, but the guy looks like he could be a right tackle in the NFL, and I kind of like him a little bit. So I want to watch more film, but I want to put him out there for anyone that just wants to check him out and let me know what they think, because I'm interested. But I got to watch more film on him. But I came across him in another film that I was watching, and I was like, you know what? That guy's kind of interesting. I'm going to have to take a little bit of a look. So I like to throw out nuggets sometimes for people to watch things. He may not be the guy. Like, once we get into film, he may not be a guy that's really a player, but I liked him a little bit, and he kind of caught my interest. He's unique.
You know, it's funny because – you talk about Jack Nelson. My first thing I have written down for him is run game. Like, right? So you have Connerly, who's pass game, pass pro. You got Jack Nelson, 6'7", 270 is what they have him listed at. Like, really, in the run game? He's that light? We'll have to see what the combine is. A lot of these big-time schools, whatever, they put out some weird things. 37 starts at left tackle, 13 at right guard. So the versatility is there. The run game is there. Man, he's kind of a weird cat. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Is he a sitter? I don't know. I really don't know. But that's going to wrap it up for us here. Sorry for the construction. Hopefully that didn't make it unlistenable. But, Ant, you are the absolute best. If you haven't yet, go check out 49ers Cutback. We're going to keep recording and talking draft stuff all off season. We got you. And for everybody else here, you are the best. Thank you, guys. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.